You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Ross Steele.
Little different approach. On your way in, you got sermon notes. And the title of my message today is The Great Chasm, because what I want to talk about to you is a question that many believers have had at one time or another, and that is, what happened to Jesus when he died before he resurrected? And yes, his body was put into a tomb, but he wasn't just taking a nap waiting for the time. He had business to do. He had work to get done. And we're going to jump around in the scriptures today, so you can follow along on screen and with your sermon notes. And you can take those sermon notes, put them in your Bible, revisit them at another time. That's why they're there for you. It is a tool just for you. So I want to start us in Matthew chapter 27. Actually, real quick, before I start, I want to say one thing. I'm human, right? I, as a pastor, I've found myself that I carry a lot of weight, put a lot of pressure on myself to do it all right, to live righteous and not to mess up the word of God, okay? But I am human. So at one time or another, I may let you down as your pastor, and not to say that's okay, but that's part of being human. And I just ask you guys, as I continue, as we grow as a church and we continue to, and I continue to develop, that you'll just extend some grace towards me. And I promise, I do everything I possibly can to get the word right, to teach it right, and to change lives. I want to do all that. But I can only do so much. So don't expect, everything. I'm not Jesus, okay? Let's just make that very clear. I'm not Jesus, and I won't be. I will be at his side one day, but I'm not him. So my ask is, you'll extend grace as we continue to grow, and in times that maybe I let you down or you disagree with something I may say, that's okay. We don't have to agree on everything, but the important things we're going to have to agree on. And that's Jesus and him crucified, and that's what we talk about here at Life Church. So we're going to start in, Ed, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 27 today. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, 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 lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? And this is Jesus. He's on the cross. He's hanging. And some of his last words. And we notice that it's a darkness for about 3 hours. And I'm not going to get all into any details, but it'd be like an eclipse, right? And, we're about to experience one here soon. You can imagine that, right? And Jesus hanging on the cross, darkness falls upon. And this is what we see here. This shows us that the crucifixion of God's Son was the darkest time in history. It's not that we just sang it. And the cool part about all this, actually, is Chad built a set list, and he had no idea what my message was. I said Palm Sunday, and it didn't really give him any details because I'm not really going the normal route of Palm Sunday. But it's funny to see how God works, because it's just, he is confirming, yes, it was the darkest day in history. Yes. And so we can see this and recognize that. And then he cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me? And in the Old Testament, we see oftentimes that darkness was a sign of God's judgment. Not necessarily, now in this moment, it's not necessarily a judgment on his son, but it's a judgment on the people. Jesus was without sin, but then when he hung on the cross, he became sin for us. The judgment had come. And I want to jump over to Psalms 22. It says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? All of Psalms 22, basically what is happening, Jesus is quoting Psalms 22 when he's hanging there. Okay, and this is how it starts, but I want to jump to the end of Psalms 22, starting in verse 27. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him, for royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship, bow before him, all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done. It may end with, Psalms 22 may start with, my God, why have you abandoned me? But it ends with a triumphant call of, hey, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and everybody will know. Everybody will know. Every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. Yes. It's showing that he is on the throne and he's not going anywhere. You can't change that. Culture can't change that. Culture can't take that away. These are things that Jesus is quoting Psalms 22, and it's just a reminder for us. He's saying, hey, remember this verse, remember this chapter. I really believe that. Yeah, I'm gonna call this out to go back and look at how it ends. Because he is the triumphant king. I want to jump back to Matthew chapter 27. So then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. I want to talk on some key factors that I highlighted in these verses. The torn curtain, the torn veil. This is that the ordinary men and women can approach God's throne. This at one time was the holiest of holies place. Only a priest, one time a year, could go in there. Not ordinary men and women could go in there. Only a holy priest could go in there and offer a sacrifice for the sins of their people. That's what it was. But after his call, after his last cry, the veil was torn, the curtain was torn, and it's neat to point out that it's top to bottom. It's not bottom to top where somebody could be down there. No, it's top to bottom because he's above all, and this is a beautiful picture for us because it's a reminder that we can approach the throne. We can approach the throne with boldness, saying, "Hey, you're my Father. I get to come into this place and approach your throne because that veil is now gone. It is torn. There is no more barrier. Things are different now. We can approach him at any time, ordinary men and women. The rock split, the earth shakes. This is this is the power of God's work in the world. It's his power at work. That's what we're seeing here. It's seeing all that he's capable of, and he's capable of so much more. I mean, he created the heavens and the earth, right? So we know that this is from him. The darkness, the veil torn, the earthquake. This shows us this power at work. And the verse says godly people. I changed to holy people. The holy people, this is a result of what Jesus did between the cross and resurrection. And we're going to get into it. I promise you, I'm not going to leave you hanging here. But when it says the godly men and women who raised again, and then they went into the city after Jesus' resurrection, we're going to talk more about that. And I want to go to Ephesians 4 before we start there. And it says, therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. When he ascended on high shows us that he had to ascend from somewhere. Okay, so he descends into Hades. He descends into the place of the departed dead, right? And we continue on, verse 9. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also has descended into the lower parts of the earth. I got ahead of myself. Anyways, we're going to continue on. Verse 10, he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. He fulfilled all things. Okay, and I want to take us to the story of Lazarus, which we see in Luke chapter 16. But Jesus often taught, we know this, Jesus often taught in parables. And this particular one, as some believe that it's a parable, I do not hold that same belief. I believe because there is a proper noun used, a name that is used in this story, that it is an actual story. It is a story, and it is basically a picture of what is to come. In Luke chapter 16, I'm going to read through it, and then we'll talk. So, now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torments. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. What does this show us? In our life, in our lifetime, in our generation, friends, family, those around us, those we don't even know, we haven't even met yet, people can see them. People can see them rise from the dead, and they still won't believe. But the problem with that is that we don't know who those people are, so our job is to make sure we can tell everybody about Jesus. This story of Lazarus, for me, it shows a glimpse of life beyond the grave, of what it'll look like. At this time, what it looks like before Jesus. You have Hades, you got a side of torment, and you have a side of comfort. You have paradise, that some would say, right? It's a waiting place. And with this, we know that there are the righteous and the unrighteous. There are the believers and the unbelievers. But this is the old covenant. And in the old covenant, believers would go to comfort while unbelievers would go to torment. So the place of departed dead, they'd go, and the unbelievers, they're going to the side of torment. Believers, those who died in faith, are going to the side of comfort, going to paradise. It's a waiting place, I guess you could call it, right? But when Jesus died on the cross, before he rose again, he had to do something, right? His body was laying at rest, sure. But he released his spirit, right? We already read that. He released his spirit. Where'd he go? Jesus' presence proclaims liberty for those who died in faith. He went to the place of the departed dead, and he didn't, I imagine, I don't know for sure if he said anything at all, but my guess is that he didn't have to say anything. His presence alone was enough to say, all right, y'all ready?
Yes.
You're coming with me. And he ascends, and he ascends, and they ascend with him in his train. Okay? So the scriptures that we're talking about here, where the holy people, the godly men and women, rose up out of their grave, and they're kind of waiting around now for Jesus to then resurrect. And then after he resurrects, they come out into the city so everybody can see. It's not just that Jesus was the one that was resurrected that people saw, but also those who were believers, those who died in faith, the righteous ones also rose from the grave. That's a beautiful picture, y'all, because they were a waiting place, but they, you know, eternity, where'd they go? Yeah, they were in a place of comfort, but now they're right next to Jesus. He took them with him, and he's going to take us with him if we are in faith with him. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison." So he makes a proclamation, and he's saying, "You're coming with me. I don't have to ask permission. I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am over all the evil spirits. They bow to me." He didn't need to ask permission to take him with him. That's a beautiful picture for us. Here's the thing, the side of comfort, it doesn't exist. The side of torment remains. And it's awaiting the great white throne judgments. And you're like, "What, Pastor Ross, what is that?" Well, you want to jump over to me with Revelation. We all love Revelation, right? End time, yeah, come on, okay. Chapter 20, verse 13 says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, and every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." That shows us, hey, the side of torment, it still exists. It's agony. And we don't want to be there. So why would we want anybody else around us to be there? I don't think, like, we've experienced pain and suffering in our life. I know everybody in this room has at one time or another. We've experienced it. But it doesn't compare to the pain and agony that that those around us who don't know Jesus will spend for eternity. It does not compare. The question I ask myself is, how desperate am I to share the love of Jesus? How desperate are you to share the love of Jesus, especially even for those that you really do not like that much? God still created them, and he still loves them. He wants everybody with him, and therefore I want everybody with him. And yes, there are going to be people who, even if they saw him raised from the dead, they still would not believe. But how desperate are you? How desperate are we, church? You know, we've grown as a campus a lot just in this year, and it's great. The thing is, though, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about Life Church. It's not about any of that. It's all about Jesus. And if we can come and we can get people in these doors so that we can talk and we can share the love of Christ and we can share the judgment will come. The world wants this lackadaisical type of love and just, you know, accept me, affirm me, all this. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Because we have to repent of our sin. Believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, and repent of our sin. God calls us from our sin. And he can change us. He will change our hearts. And what we can do as a church is to share that with people. Luke chapter 23 says, and he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. As he's hanging on the cross, the thief on the cross, these are his words. Remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus responds and he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Here's the thing, it's not about religion. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship. And I say that over and over and over again because it's still true. And we have to recognize it. We could be in faith for 60 plus years praying for those around us because we know they need Jesus. And they, at the end of their life, could receive him. And they'll go into paradise. But what's in our heart? We may say we're praying because we know we should, but where's our heart? There's a chance that people that prayed for people to get saved, those who prayed may not end up in paradise. It's hard to believe, I know. It's a hot take, I'm sure, but it's the truth. We sit here, we come to church, we cross off all the boxes. I don't care about the boxes, church. I don't care about the list of things that we have to accomplish or we feel like we have to do to earn God's love. It's already there for us. It's already there. All we have to do is receive it and say, God, I'm broken and I need you. And he'll respond the same way. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. And why couldn't Jesus stay in the place of the departed dead? That's because death could not hold him. Death could not hold Jesus because sin never got his hands on him. Jesus is the only one ever to live that lived a sinless life. And for some of us in here, that's hard to believe. But it's true. That's the only way that he could come, rise again, come with authority. Sin, the power of sin and death had no power over him, had no authority over him. And we get decisions to make. There's a lot of decisions we make in our life, but the most important one is whether we're going to believe in Jesus in our heart, confess it with our tongue, repent from our sin, turn from our wicked ways, and chase after him. To be in relationship with him, to be in fellowship with him. He sits at the door and knocks. And if you let him in, he'll come in. He'll join you. The thing with this, with decisions, is that you can also make the decision not to decide. And deciding not to decide is equally as bad as deciding that Jesus is not the Christ. Because there is still unbelief. You may say this morning, you may be here this morning and think to yourself, I just don't know if I can make that decision right now. I'm not sure if I'm ready. Well, what is ready? You think that when I came to Jesus, I had it all together? No, I still don't have it all together. I need Jesus every single day. And we got to get out of our heads and quit thinking, all right, I'll go to church. I'll talk to God. I'll believe in Jesus when this happens, if this happens. He's not a gumball machine God. Can't just put a quarter in and get it when you want it. We need a relationship with him every single day of our lives. We're not going to be perfect. That's okay. Get over yourself. I have to tell myself that often. I put a lot of pressure on myself as a husband, as a pastor, as a leader. I'm not going to be perfect. All I can expect is that the same grace God gave to me, that those around me and my wife will extend grace to me when I need it most. She does a darn good job at it. That those I lead will extend grace when I say the wrong thing or I respond the wrong way. It's an image of Christ. Because we could come to him with all our hurts, with all our pains, with all our suffering. And he's just standing, waiting to embrace us. He wants a relationship with you today. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give an opportunity. I want to give two opportunities. One opportunity is for those who are here that have not quite made the decision to follow Jesus yet. You've had some unbelief, but you don't want to be there any longer where you say, I'm just not going to decide. I'll put it off till next time. We don't know how much time we have left. And I don't say that to scare you into it. It's just the truth. And I want you with me, rejoicing, worshiping in heaven, in paradise with Jesus. And I'll be unapologetic about that for every day of my life.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.